So how's the practice going? Anyone have any comments or questions? Sleepy? Yeah, it's quite common actually the first day or two, coming from particularly a hectic sort of lifestyle, and then when we sit down to relax a bit, then we just sort of crash a little bit. So that can be very common. Anything else anyone would like to bring up?
Sure. I mean, I'm definitely one of those people you were talking about who are prone to kind of shut off the world and become very passionate about the shamatha practice. I'm kind of naturally drawn to it, but I tend to kind of seek the solitude and shut other people and the world out. So it's definitely a practice that I should incorporate, but I find it quite difficult to incorporate the loving kindness practice. If it's short, it's fine, but if it's a whole meditation, like a whole session, then I get easily, I can generate the thought, I can generate the image, but I'm not really able to sustain it for a long time. Mm. So I'm using guided meditations because then it's easier.
Sure.
Alone, I can't do it yet.
Sure.
But my question would be, I guess, how to incorporate it, how to get a good balance between the shamatha and loving kindness. Could it be like a short half a gataka session, for example, like a day or a second day? What would be the right balance for people like that?
Yeah. Well, there's a few things I can mention here. One, of course, is that there are many approaches to doing loving kindness meditation, and in different traditions they approach it differently. So what can be helpful is to follow various guided meditations from different people from different traditions to get different sort of approaches to it, and then sort of find the one that sort of really suits you, that works for you, and then you can use that. Or you can even then have a couple of different approaches. Otherwise, sometimes these sorts of analytical meditations can become a bit mechanical. You know, you hear it from one person, and then, you know, step A, B, C, D, E, A, B, C, D, E, and then you just sort of go through it in a very mechanical way. So then it doesn't really have much impact. So it's important to connect with the meditation, and then, of course, with those analytical meditations, we can also fine-tune them a little bit according to our own personal disposition. So it's important that with those meditations is to really connect with them. And also, of course, a lot of those meditations involve a lot of visualizations of people and light and various things like this. And many people have difficulties with visualization, but I wouldn't worry too much about whether it's the light is looking very good or the person looks clear or whatever. That's not so much the important thing as a beginner. The important thing is to have the sense of the loving kindness of what that visualization is meant to show. So that is the more important thing, to have that feeling of wanting to give something to someone, rather than whether the light is very clear or the person looks clear. So don't worry too much about the visualization side of it. That's just there to help. But the key element is to have that sense of loving kindness, because that's what we're trying to cultivate in that meditation, is to really work with that. So therefore, I can suggest look around a little bit, and different people approach it different ways, and then pick a couple of ways that sort of really resonate with you, and then you can even fine-tune those as well. And then mix it up a little bit as well, and don't just sort of do the same thing all the time, otherwise it can get mechanical. And then the other thing that you mentioned in terms of the mix or the balance, that really depends a little bit on where we're at. Sometimes we may need to emphasize a little bit more things like loving kindness and compassion, sometimes maybe a little bit less. So there's no real fixed formula. It will vary from person to person, and even within a person, it will vary from time to time. So I think we can often sense when it's sort of more required, when we're, you know, like you said, when we're withdrawing into that little sort of space, then maybe yes, it's time to then really emphasize more. And so then we can do the whole session of loving kindness, or we could begin with some shamatha for a half the session to stabilize the mind and then do the second half on loving kindness. So that is also okay. So there's no real set formula. It's just really to have a couple of different types of loving kindness meditation that sort of work for us, and then to use them as much or little as we need to in the mix of things. That's all. Anything else anyone would like to bring up? I mean, personally, when I meditate, I generally have the eyes naturally open. I find that having them sort of slightly open, it doesn't sort of really work for me. I find that sort of this can happen, and also a little bit of a sort of the flickering effect. So I sort of have them naturally open, and with that, I don't find a problem of them then closing. Maybe if you have, do you have them just slightly open? Do you, or?
I would like to, but they always close.
No, but I mean, normally when you have them open, do you have them like naturally open or just partial?
I find that if I have them partially open, then it's the curtains dry and fast. So I try to just keep them completely open and rest them somewhere.
Yeah, I don't have any secret formulas there, but I think it's just. I think it's just a matter of habit. I mean, I think the more we do it, and the more we, when we notice them, the closing to open them again, and that, I think it's just a matter of time, really. And again, maybe to have the head, watch the head doesn't drop too much as well. You know, so that's all I think. Anything else anyone would like to bring up? Counting, anyone, the counting's working, not working, too much conceptual activity. So again, like with the counting, if you find it helpful, then use it. If you don't find it helpful, you can leave it out, and don't really overuse it. Eventually, of course, we'll need to let go of any counting or noting, because we want to be focusing on the tactile sensations of the breath. But as a beginner, then counting and noting can be very helpful. So if you find it helpful, use it when it's helpful, and if not, leave it out.
Yeah, as a comment, just for the counting, for myself, when my mind is very agitated, then when I can count a little bit, but if I'm a little bit calm, like more calm, then counting just distracts me.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah. If I'm really agitated, that's the only way I can kind of...
That's right.
No.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's right. I mean, that's normally when it can be helpful, is when we're very agitated or there's a lot of conceptual things going on. It helps to really hold our mind on associated with the breath. So that's true, yes. Anything else?
Experienced when I try to keep my eyes just slightly open, just what you said, some flickering going on.
Yeah.
But then when I keep them wide open, I'm not sure where to focus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Of course, we're not really focusing on anything. I mean, it's a bit like, you know, sometimes when we daydream with our eyes open, our eyes are sort of open, but they're not really focused on anything. So, I mean, generally it's sort of said that, you know, we just rest vacantly in the space in front of us. And personally, like I said, when I started, I was quite agitated. So what I find also helpful, and this is something that's going to come up later, is that with the eyes open, of course, naturally we can have a tendency of looking around at various things, particularly if there's any movement. So generally what I do usually when I'm meditating is try to have quite dim, not much light, and then have quite blank, like a blank wall or blank floor or something in front of me. And in that way there's nothing really to pull the attention around. So you may find if you start with quite dark the room, then you may find that if you get used to that may help. One thing that I also, and of course here in this, when you're in a group situation, if people are in front of you and they're moving and that, then of course it's easy to get distracted. So what I find can maybe be a bit helpful is to sort of have an anchor point where pick a point in your gaze, maybe a spot on the floor or something, and then sort of use that as a little bit of an anchor point. We're not really sort of looking at it, but have it a little bit of as an anchor point, and that can help at least the gaze from moving around. And of course, it's very important with the eyes not to strain them. So we're not deliberately unfocusing them, you know, we're not sort of crossing our eyes to make it hazy, because we're just straining the eyes, so we don't want to strain the eyes in any way. And I'm going to speak more about the eyes open in the context of the practice of observing the mind the day after tomorrow, so I'll give some more information then as well. Anything else? Then what I'd like to do now is actually briefly introduce the practice for tomorrow to give us a bit of a flying start on the nostrils practice, because that's the one that is quite widely emphasized in many traditions. So we'll do an extra session on that now, just to sort of start us off a little bit. So with this, the nostrils practice, of course, we're focusing on this area here. So there's a couple of options, actually. You can actually focus at the actual entrance of the nostrils or this little tiny area above the upper lip. So whichever area, anywhere in that area where you most easily sense the sensations of the breath. So some people prefer to focus on the actual entrance and some people prefer to focus on this little area above the upper lip. So whichever you prefer, whichever works easier. And a couple of things that's important with this particular practice to be watch out for. So again, remember, relaxation is very important in all these practices. Now, particularly because we're elevating our focus, we're moving from down here to up here, because we're elevating the focus, and because this is a much more subtle object to focus on, there can be this natural tendency, of course, to tighten the focus, to clamp down. So particularly with this practice, it's very important with introspection to really monitor that very closely, to monitor if we're really being too tight or too tense in our focus. And one way to monitor that is to notice every so often what's going on around the forehead and around the eyes. If you notice a lot of sensations across the forehead, a lot of tension around the eyes, then we need to really relax, 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 relax. So it's very important for that. And also, because the sensations here tend to be very subtle, there can also be a tendency to manipulate the breath, to make the breath more forceful so that we can pick up sensations here. So we don't really want to go there either. So again, just let the breath flow naturally. Don't force the breath. And just patiently stay here. And as the mind calms down, we're going to start to pick up more and more sensations in this area. So again, to introduce the practice, I'll read a little bit from Alan Wallace about this practice. And so this is on page 46. And he says the following. Mentally, the initial emphasis in the shamatha practice is on relaxation, which can be induced by attending to the sensations of breathing throughout the body. The second emphasis is on stability of attention, and for this it can be helpful to observe the sensations of breathing in the region of the belly. Then, having established a foundation of relaxation and stability, we shift the emphasis to cultivating vividness of attention, another word for clarity. It is crucially important that stability is not gained at the expense of relaxation, and that the increase of vividness does not coincide with a decrease of stability. The relationship among these three qualities can be likened to the roots, trunk, and foliage of a tree. As your practice grows, the roots of relaxation go deeper, the trunk of stability gets stronger, and the foliage of vividness reaches higher. So this is very important. We talked about these three qualities here of relaxation, stability, and clarity. One acts as the basis of the other. So we really need to make sure that we first are emphasizing relaxation, and then on the basis of a relaxed mind, we can start to stabilize the mind. And then once the mind starts to become more stable, then we can work on improving the clarity. So each one is the basis of the other. So we need to keep that in mind. In this practice session, shift the emphasis to vividness or clarity. You do this by elevating the focus of attention and directing to a subtler object. Direct your attention to the tactile sensations of your breath at the apertures of your nostril or above your upper lip, wherever you feel the in and out flow of your breath. Elevating the focus of attention helps to induce vividness, and attending to a subtler object enhances that further. Observe these sensations at the gateway of the respiration, even between breaths. There is an ongoing flow of tactile sensations in the area of the nostrils and upper lip, so sustain your attention there as continuously as possible. So again, even the gap between the in and the out breath, there is sensations here. So just notice, even when the transition from the in to the out breath, you can still notice the sensations here. So again, to be continuous in our mindfulness throughout the entire cycle of each in and out breath. If the breath becomes so subtle that you can't detect the sensations of its flow, quiet your mind and observe more carefully. As you arouse the vividness of attention, eventually the sensations of the breath will become evident again. On the periphery of your awareness, you may still note other sensations throughout your body, as well as sounds and so on. Just let them be, without trying to block them out, and focus your attention single-pointedly on the sensations around the apertures of your nostrils. Count your breaths if you find this helpful. Arouse your faculty of introspection so that you quickly note whether excitation or laxity has arisen and take the necessary steps to balance the attention when such problems occur. So also in this practice of focusing at the nostrils to help also with stability of attention. If you find counting or noting the breath helpful, then you can introduce that to help stabilize the mind as well. So this is also can be helpful for some people. So that's the practice. So we're going to just do one session, 24-minute session. So find yourself a nice, comfortable posture. So as always, we begin by preparing the body, setting the body into a state of relaxation, stillness, and vigilance. So while keeping the back nice and straight, allow the entire body to become completely relaxed and completely at ease. Bringing the awareness to the area of the face, softening and relaxing all the muscles in the face. Allowing the breathing to settle into its natural rhythm. Not trying to control or regulate the breath in any way. And relaxing more deeply with each out-breath. And with each out-breath, letting go of any thoughts that may have arisen, happily releasing them. And allowing the mind to come to rest in the present moment. Through focusing on the sensations of the breath throughout the body. Now narrow your focus and focus on the sensations of the breath at the entrance of the nostrils or the area above the upper lip, whichever of those you prefer. Maintain that ongoing flow of mindfulness of the sensations of the breath throughout the entire cycle of each in and out breath. the breathing to flow naturally. Not trying to control or regulate or force the breath in any way. Keeping all the muscles in the face soft and relaxed. All the muscles around the eyes soft and relaxed. Notice that you've become distracted, then without becoming frustrated or upset, simply be happy that you've noticed the distraction And then relax, release the distraction, and very gently return to focusing on the breath. If you find that you're simply becoming dull or spaced out, then use the in-breath as an opportunity to arouse and refresh your focus on the breath. How do we go with that practice? Okay? Easier? More difficult? Easier than the abdomen? Why? Sleepiness.
Somehow we have to let all the emphasis that we put on relaxation and also somehow stabilizing the abdomen and how it makes me just emphasizes the whole heaviness and sleepiness.
So with the nostrils, you're more awake. Yeah, I mean, that can sometimes people have that experience. I mean, for a couple of reasons. One, of course, is when we're focusing on the abdomen, we're bringing our mind down, which is naturally more relaxing. But also, of course, the abdomen is more easy to focus on. So then, because of that, then what can often happen is that we can easily drift off into distraction or dullness and still in the corner of our mind be noticing some sensations here. Where here, of course, it's more difficult to do that. One is that we're elevating the focus, so the focus is higher, so naturally more clarity. But also because it's a more subtle object, it really forces us to focus more intently. So therefore, often people have this experience of less dullness when they're focusing here. But of course, then there can be the other tendency to go into the agitation, because then people tense too much to focus here. So both can happen. Anyone else would like to make any comments about this practice? This is the practice we're going to be doing tomorrow.
This is related to the question I was trying to asked yesterday, and I make a notation that maybe I'm putting too much effort, or like not tension, but when I'm trying to focus on nostrils, then if my intention is too much, then maybe it's happening that my abdomen, it's then stuck in one position, and then I'm thinking that why it's not working, and then I have to focus here.
Mm. Yeah.
And maybe it's just the intensity, that, like, how did you say it better?
Yeah, I think that can be the case because, you know, because it's such a subtle object, then we can have this, you know, this tension, and even holding the breath, you know, even though we're supposed to be focusing on the breath, often when we've try to focus on something in daily life, we actually hold the breath. So that can also, you know, bring the tension here if we're like trying to really look closely. So probably it's some tension there. So just emphasize the relaxation, particularly on the out breath, is just really emphasize the relaxation, relax, relax, relax.
Then I think that I have to focus in two objects, like the relaxation and also the breathing.
No, I mean the relaxation. I mean, relaxation is not really an object.
Yeah.
So we're just focusing here in a relaxed way. So we're using introspection to notice if we're relaxed or we're tense or we're agitated. So that's part of the job of introspection. So mindfulness is holding the breath, the object, and introspection is monitoring. So introspection monitors whether we're becoming dull or distracted. And a part of that, of course, is if we're becoming tense and agitated. So also with introspection, we can periodically monitor the body, because that's important as well, to make sure that the posture is good and make sure there's no tension coming into the body. Particularly with this one, often there can be a lot of tension coming across the forehead and around the eyes. So very important as a beginner to really monitor that periodically as well, to notice if there's this tension, because it can really slowly build up and we don't really notice it. We're picking up sensations here. See, the thing is that with that tension, often we can have some clarity and we can pick up sensations here. So we go, wow, this is really good. You know, I'm picking up a lot of sensations, but we're super tense. So in the short term, we may have some clarity and some sensations, but it comes at a huge cost. We're going to get a lot of fatigue, a lot of tiredness, and then eventually agitated. And we really want to, as a beginner, it's very important to monitor this, because if we really get in the habit of having that tension Even though we're picking up a lot of sensations here, that's a habit that's going to be hard to reverse. And the more we do it, particularly if we go into a longer sort of retreat environment, we can really develop a lot of imbalances that in Tibetan Buddhism is often called lung, this sort of this internal imbalance of the subtle energies. And so we really don't want to go there because it's going to create a lot of agitation and tension. So we want to make sure as a beginner we're really relaxing. And so monitor this area around the eyes and the forehead regularly as a beginner when we're focusing here to make sure there's not that tension there. This is very important.
Can you still describe a little bit more about this lung? You were mentioning something, agitation or something.
Yeah, I mean, lung lung is the Tibetan word for wind, for prana, for energy. And it usually is talking about this imbalance, and it really is just coming from being too tight, too tense. And different people experience this in different ways. A lot of people experience a lot of tension across the forehead. Some people have a lot of tightness in the chest area. So it's just basically tension. So we need to really release that. And we can also monitor this area as well. Sometimes people have a lot of tightness in the chest area because they're too tense. So just relax.
Well, my question would be related to what you were just saying now. I catch myself spontaneously shifting from observing the breath at the nostrils and the full body awareness, which are my two favorite breathing exercises. I don't really like the abdomen, but those two are my favorite. But I catch myself shifting because I like observing the breath at the nostrils, but then I get a bit tense. So then naturally, I kind of shift to the other exercise. But my concern was that it's not really good because since I'm cultivating attention, I should concentrate on one spot and not shifting. But if it's just a few times during the session, then maybe it's as long as I'm not losing the breath, I guess it's kind of a balance with it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. In fact, I think what you're doing is the correct thing, is that you're focusing here. And then you're noticing through introspection that there's some tension in the body, and then you're shifting back to just noticing sensations in the body to relax. So actually that is a correct thing to do. And so that's what we can do is when we're focusing here and we notice some tension in the body or in the forehead or whatever, of course, just to try and release that. But if it's really hard to release, then don't stay here, but actually do as you did. Go back to focusing, bring your attention down to the abdomen or full body and just emphasize relaxation. So we can do that for some minutes or a few breaths until we find ourselves nice and relaxed, then go back here. So this is fine. This is okay. This is a good thing to do. We don't want to stay here with tension because it's going to create a lot of difficulties for us. It's fine.
When it comes to the breath objects, I definitely prefer the nostrils compared to everything else. But very often I have this that I have a clear feeling of the breath entering the nostrils. But then when it comes to exhale, I don't have much feeling what's happening. So I kind of sometimes this may be hinders my observation of the full
cycle
of the breath,
sure.
Because I have the feeling of inhale, but not so much of an exhale.
Sure.
But at the same time, I definitely prefer it because like dullness and everything else is like less distracted for me.
Yeah. So yes, I mean, of course, there'll be some differences from the inhale to the exhale, and you'll notice maybe the different temperature as well, and so forth, and different types of sensations. And you may find as a beginner you don't really notice many sensations at all on the inhale or the exhale. So the key is just to stay in this area. Don't tighten. Just stay relaxed and stay alert and just stay here. And even in between the breaths, there is still sensations going on here as well. So just stay there in a relaxed way, in an alert way, and you'll find that the more you relax and the more alert you become, the more you'll pick up sensations on both the inhale, the exhale, and the gap in between. There is still sensations here. So it's just a matter of being patient and not clamping or forcing or changing the breath in any way. So just be patient.
Yeah, because I'm constantly like doing the introspection of to see how my face muscles are. So they usually it's fine because I do that.
Sure.
But then sometimes I tend, when I don't feel much on the exhale, I tend to maybe monitor the way I breathe. So basically,
monitor or
in terms
or
of, like maybe I'm not sure if I change it, but maybe sometimes I inhale a little bit.
Yeah, sure. So don't worry too much. Don't do that. Don't change your breath to make it more forceful, because that's not really going to be helpful in the longer term. But just patiently stay there if you don't notice anything. And over time, if the more you stay there, the more calm you become, more relaxed, more attentive, you'll start to pick up the sensation. So just again, be patient. That's all. Yeah. The word awareness is very widely used in Buddhism, and unfortunately that word is used by different people and different translators to translate different terms from Sanskrit, so it's actually quite confusing. Awareness can either be a noun or a verb. So awareness in terms of a verb is often relating to the function of the mind. The mind is aware of appearances. In terms of a noun, the word awareness can sometimes just mean the mind itself. So in some traditions, people reserve the word awareness for a particular level of the mind, this very deepest, what's called the very subtle mind. So then in that tradition, they use the word awareness for that, and the higher levels of the mind, they use the word mind. And then some translators use, to translate introspection, they use the word awareness. So it really is very confusing. When you see the word awareness, you need to try to understand how is that person using that word. And unfortunately, it's a word that really is overused and used in different contexts to mean different things. So it is quite confusing, this word awareness. But it can mean all of it. Sorry?
One day we will know.
No, I mean, it's if someone's talking about it, then and you're not sure what they're meaning by the word awareness. I mean, often from the context or the tradition, you know. Certain traditions really reserve the word awareness for that very deep level of the mind, and certain traditions use it in other ways. So you just get to know from the various traditions and also the context. Also, sometimes it's a bit obvious what that word awareness is referring to, but it can be confusing. Okay, let's stop there then. It's time for dinner. So let's break for dinner and come back at 7:30.